Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm going to have scripture reading today, and it comes from Romans 12, 4 to 8. Each one of us has one body, and that body has many parts. These parts don't all do the same thing. In the same way, we are many people, but in Christ, we are all one body. We are the part of that body, and each part belongs to all the others. Six. We all have different gifts. Each gift came because of grace God gave us. Whoever has the gift of prophecy should use that gift in a way that fits the kind of faith they have. Whoever has the gift of serving should serve. Whoever has the gift of teaching should teach. Whoever has the gift of comforting others should do that. Whoever has the gift of giving to help others should give generously. Whoever has the gift to learning should work hard that it. Whoever has the gift to showing kindness to others should do that gently. That's the end of the reading.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. If you want to take your Bibles or devices, as the case may be now, and turn over the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be looking at that a little later. There isn't any big games on today, are there? That's right, it's tonight, so I can go for 3 hours, amen? Hey, how many of you watched last week's game? Okay, pretty incredible. And you thought the Minneapolis miracle was Laura and I moving from San Diego to the Twin Cities, right? Pretty amazing stuff. Also, there's an outline in your bulletin to help you follow along as we begin a new message series today entitled Unwrapping Your Gifts. And today we want to answer the question, why I should care about discovering my gifts. Well, I believe that I've truly become a Minnesotan. Amen? I mean, and the reason is that I'm feeling truly, absolutely, I'm feeling like 35 is positively balmy now. Absolutely, you know. But I'm amazed at how hardy Minnesotans are. The other day, I think it was Thursday evening, it was about dusk, I was just looking out my office window here at the church this way, and you know these row of houses over here, and a flame caught my eye. There was flames coming up. And I was kind of like a little startled and concerned because, you know, you see fire, that's not good. And then I kind of took the time to focus in, and I noticed, no big deal, just a guy firing up his grill on the deck. And then I checked my phone, and I said, but it's 40 degrees, of course. You know, what else would you be doing but grilling on the deck? But I ran across this I thought I would share with you today, and it's called the Minnesota Temperature Conversion Chart. Maybe you've run across these before. It says at 60 degrees, Californians put on coats, gloves, and woolly hats while Minnesotans sunbathe. At 50 degrees, Texans turn on the heat, Minnesotans plant gardens. At 30 degrees, Arizonans' cars won't start, Minnesotans are still driving with the windows rolled down. At 20 degrees, Floridians shiver uncontrollably, Minnesotans celebrate the arrival of autumn. At 10 degrees, Californians fly to Mexico. Minnesotans throw on a sweatshirt. At 10 degrees below zero, Floridians freeze to death, while Minnesota Girl Scouts begin selling cookies door to door. At minus 20 degrees, California breaks off the continent and sinks. Minnesotans start wearing their winter coats. At 60 degrees below zero, Santa Claus abandons the North Pole for Hawaii. Minnesotan Boy Scouts postpone their survival training until it gets colder. And at 100 degrees below zero, hell freezes over, but Minnesotans start saying, "Cold enough for you?" You know, when you look at the universe God created, there's one thing that you can conclude for sure, and that is that he loves diversity. Amen. You know, the uniqueness and the differences in the climates, in the scenery, in the colors, and the sights, and the sounds, and the smells, and the foods, and even the people make life interesting. And this is especially true in the body of Christ, the church. You may not even know it, but you are uniquely gifted by God to be able to serve others in important ways. And the tragedy of that is so many of us aren't even aware of that. I've told you the story before about in the early 20th century how an oil company came to a very poor farmer in East Texas believing there was oil on his land. And so they asked him if they could begin to drill to explore it. And the guy was about to starve, so he gave them permission, and it turned out to be one of the richest, most productive oil fields in American history, and eventually, it was known as Spindletop, and overnight made that poor farmer a multimillionaire, or did it? Isn't it true that the poor farmer was always a multimillionaire? He just didn't know it. It wasn't until someone offered him a different perspective, some new ideas that helped him realize the potential of the land, the riches of the land that he always possessed. Folks, that's what this study is about, to give you a new perspective about the awesome spiritual riches and powers and abilities that God has placed within you the moment you became a Christian. To literally unwrap the amazing and unique spiritual gifts that he has given you, and you may not even know that you have. And then to start using them so that to serve others, so that you can feel fulfilled in your faith as never before. And I want you to know something. This study is not only interesting and practical, it's going to be fun. I want to assure you of that. So look at your outline, and let's briefly talk about the goals of this study. Okay, so you kind of know where we're going and why. Okay, so what are the goals of this study? First of all, that we'll define what spiritual gifts are. Okay, we'll get to that. I thought it was important to begin with the why, but we'll find out the what. Okay, in these messages, I hope that you'll learn how many spiritual gifts there are. What are they? Whether or not the miraculous gifts are still active today, and how spiritual gifts differ from natural abilities and learned skills. Number two, we also want to determine why spiritual gifts are important. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Why should you care? Right? Jim, why are you devoting four messages to this topic? We'll find out today why it matters. Number three, in this series, we'll discover what your unique spiritual gifts are. I mean, you may be convinced at some point, okay, Jim, all right, you convinced me I do have spiritual gifts. What are they? How can I find them? Okay, we'll discuss a process that'll help you do that. And finally, in this series, we will decide how we will use our spiritual gifts to serve others. There's one thing that is crystal clear. The spiritual gifts were never given for the benefit of the one they're given to. The spiritual gifts are not to make us feel important. They are not to make us look like superstar Christians or to impress others, but rather to serve others and strengthen the body of Christ. Okay, so let's answer this critical question of why should I care about discovering my spiritual gifts. Again, take a look at your outline again. And first of all, by finding and using my gift, you and I fulfill our purpose. The purpose for which God created you and the purpose for which he gifted you. Look at this scripture in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Did you hear that? Would you receive that today? Would you let it sink in that you are God's masterpiece? I looked it up. Webster defines masterpiece as a work done with extraordinary skill, a supreme intellectual or artistic achievement. That's what you are. Before God created one molecule of this universe, he had you in mind. He already loved you. He already knew what he wanted you to do, and he already gifted you. He already made you a masterpiece so that you could fulfill that purpose. Here's the big idea of this point. What I do for God, his church, and others is determined by who he created me to be. Okay? Who you are will determine what you do. So how do you determine that? Who are you? What are you? How did God create you? Okay? Well, I love the shape approach to ministry. So look at your outline. And I'm indebted to Rick Warren and Eric Reese for their development of this. And I think a lot of you are already familiar with this because I know some years ago Northern Light read The Purpose-Driven Church and maybe did some study on that, and that's in there. But if this is new to you, I think this will be a blessing. Look at on your outline where it says, the shape God has given me will determine my ministry in his kingdom. Okay, it's an acrostic for shape. What are we talking about? The S stands for spiritual gifts. And that's when we ask, what am I gifted to do? Okay, that's part of who you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 is on your outline. However, each person has a special gift from God, and these gifts vary from person to person. There's no ungifted Christians, okay? Every one of you has a gift at least, or probably more than one, all right? That's an important part of your makeup, and that makeup is going to determine your ministry. The second part of it, the H stands for heart, and that's your passion. Those are the things, the longings, the passions that God has given you, and that's where you ask, what do I love to do? What do I love to do? There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, ministry is not about fitting sort of a square peg into a round hole, right? I mean, there are some things that we're all called to do as Christians. There's just some service in the kingdom and in the church that just needs to be done. And whether it's our gift or not, we need to do it because we want to be like Jesus. But ultimately, you're going to be doing what you love to do. Because that's how God made you. But look at Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, find your delight in the Lord, and then he will give you everything your heart really wants. So what do you love to do? The A is abilities. God has also given us abilities that differ from spiritual gifts. And this is where we ask, what are my natural abilities? Those are often given from birth. We'll look at it this way. And I understand that a lot of times they overlap, and you won't hear me being dogmatic about this in any way, but generally our abilities are something that God gave us from birth. Skills are something we develop. Our spiritual gifts are given to us when we become a Christian. That's the difference between them all. But what's your natural abilities? I love this scripture from Exodus chapter 35, verse 35. It's on your outline, and says that when the tabernacle was being constructed, it says, and he, God, has given them all kinds of artistic skills, including the ability to design and embroider with blue, purple, and red wool, and to weave fine linen. Okay, so God not only gives us spiritual gifts, but also great abilities, okay, that can be used in the kingdom and used to serve others. The P is personality. And this one's a little harder to define, but we might ask the question here is, how has God uniquely hardwired me to serve? What is my personality? And I love the way the Message paraphrases David in Psalm 139. I'm sorry the scriptures are so small on your outline. You might need a microscope to see them. But listen to what he says. I love this. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking, body and soul. I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. That's you. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. That just says that the Lord created you so wonderfully and so uniquely in every way. And that's why it's okay for us to have all these differences and all this uniqueness. Now, about 30 years ago, I came to really love and appreciate the work of the late author and counselor Gary Smalley. And now there's actually a Smalley Center, a center for study, and they write books and all kinds of things related to counseling, Christian counseling, and that kind of thing. But they also have a free personality test. And I've made that available to you in the back of the worship center this morning. And I've always liked the way he does it. It's fun. It's a fun test. He identifies the different personality types as lions, otters, golden retrievers, and beavers. You can kind of imagine already, you know, what those people might be like. But if you want to take it, it's a lot of fun. Believe me, it's not a salvation issue, okay? Don't worry about it. You're not going to fail the test. Okay, you're going to come back to me and say, Jim, I failed. I don't have a personality. You do, okay? There's no right or wrong answer. It's just an assessment, just like spiritual gifts, to help you understand what ministry you may be best suited for, okay? And we'll talk more about that a little later. Okay, the E is experiences. Experiences. What have I learned in my life that can help me minister to others? And these could be good experiences, they can be bad experiences, they can be painful experiences, they can be educational experiences. Anything that you can use to help somebody else. There's a great example of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It's on your outline. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father who is full of mercy and all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble. Why? Well, not only to make us feel better, so when others have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort God gives us. That's not only true of comfort, that's true of every experience that you've had. God wants to use that for good. All right? Now, this shake concept is worthy of a whole study, and sometime in the future we will definitely be doing that. But the reason why that in this series I'm focusing on the spiritual gifts is that probably there's more confusion and misunderstanding about them than any other component of our makeup. But the first reason that we want to find them and we want to use them is that we will fulfill our purpose. Number two, second reason that you should care and I should care is that by discovering my gift, I can strengthen the body of Christ. That's our calling, okay? Again, not one spiritual gift was ever given for the benefit of the person receiving it, but rather to serve others. Now, you just heard Romans chapter 12. We'll come back in a future message and kind of take that apart a little bit more thoroughly, but now, if you haven't already, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to hit the highlights. And I know this is a pretty familiar passage, and we'll be going into it deeper in future weeks. But look at verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's why we're gifted, for the good of the body. Down to verse 12. The body's a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit, the one Spirit to drink. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And, you know, this is almost humorous because you've probably heard it said before. What if the body were one big eye? Just a 6-foot eyeball. You know, as it rolls around, you know, it gets dirt in it and snow in it and all kinds. I mean, that's gross, you know. That's like a 50s horror movie, you know. All of us are important. Verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. What's clear in that body analogy is that no organ, no cell lives for itself, but it lives to support and help the rest of the body. Well, there is one cell, kind of cell that lives for itself. You know what that is? A cancer cell. That's right. But then the apostle adds, and we won't read it, but I've given it to you on your outline. In Ephesians 4, he clarifies. He said, God gave these gifts, and specifically Jesus gave gifts to build up the body of Christ, mature believers, and make every Christian like Jesus. Friends, that's important stuff. I mean, we need to discover what our gifts are, because if we don't, none of this happens. Number three, you and I should also care, because by doing so, we glorify God. I glorify God. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter in his first letter. It's on your outline, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. That's the point. And when it happens, it is so beautiful and so inspiring. I thought of this when I read this story many years ago. At the graduation of Chicago Kent College of Law, a man by the name of Overton was honored as being the top of his class. Mr. Overton stood out not only for being a really great student, but also because he was blind. And when he was receiving his honor for being at the top of his law class, Overton insisted that his friend, Mr. Kasperzik, be given half credit. You see, Kasperzik also was a unique law student and also graduating. But what was unique about him was he had no arms. And one day, Kasperzik was watching Mr. Overton trying to negotiate the stairs and figured he would help him. And he did, and the two became fast friends. From then on, Kasperzik was Overton's guide and read his books aloud to him, and Overton carried Kasperzik's books for him. When they graduated, they planned to practice law together. When I read that, I thought, that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's why it's important to discover our gifts. Because every one of us has a disability. Every one of us has brokenness, a deficit of some kind that makes it impossible for us to fulfill God's purpose and call for our lives by ourselves. Yet in the body, when we're working together, each one of us has spiritual gifts that cover, complement, even compensate for someone else's deficit, someone else's brokenness. And together, we become whole, strong, and successful. And that's why we should care. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that we become as excited as kids at Christmas as we think about unwrapping the gifts you've given us. They are such beautiful and practical things. Father, allow nothing, not busyness, selfishness, indifference, or fear, stand in the way of this church finding and using its giftedness to build up the body and glorify you. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all